Hello, it's Marie from WorldEd, and before we go over to the interview with Christine Cajola, the girl traveller, I have a really quick announcement. Thank you so much for taking part in the WorldEd Party 2013. This year we are also celebrating our recent relaunch as a daily newsletter, which means we are now the daily newsletter that gets you out in the world. What does that mean? It means that each day, the WorldEd daily newsletter, which is beautifully designed by the way, you can expect one short and highly targeted story, which is researched by our editors who scour the globe literally so you don't have to, and it's like receiving one short magazine article every day that pops into your inbox. It gives you a 30-second vacation, and it's curated for women like you who want to go travel, think global, live free, do good, and have fun. Don't forget, we have chosen Kiva as our charity focus for this year's party, and we have a goal of $5,000, which we hope to achieve by giving loans to help stop poverty. Follow our links on the party page and you'll be able to donate to anyone you choose on Kiva or one of our three Kiva girlfriends which we are supporting. And we'll also help you get a free $25 loan. It's really simple if you just follow the links. And so, on to our interview. Today is Tuesday, and just like our daily newsletter, today is Tuesday, which means we focus on how to think global. Which is why we invited Christine Cajola, the girl traveller. And if you listen to the interview, she will explain what a girl traveller is. If you're a worldette, you're going to be a girl traveller too. You're going to love it. And Christine talks about how she feels when she travels solo, how she started traveling solo, and how it's changed her. And also we go into what we talk about as an advanced worldette problem, and we'll explain what that means. And it's all about her concept of home and how she is now she is at home, which is fascinating. So let's go over there straight away. Hello, Christine. How are you?
Hi, I'm great, Marie.
And
how are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. It is coming up for 1 o'clock here in Hong Kong, and I believe you are the whole day behind me.
Okay, yeah, because it's like 7 p.m. here.
7 p.m. in Hawaii, which is where you are now.
On a Thursday. You're probably on a Friday.
Yeah, that's correct. And Hawaii to me sounds so exotic, so amazing, so wonderful. It sounds, the best. So, let's get into this.
Here with Hong Kong.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's just polluted. I'm feeling down on Hong Kong at the moment.
No.
Okay, so, Christine, you are the girl traveler, and that is a G-R-R-R-L. It's kind of like a grrr, like a tiger or something.
Yeah, like a growl, like girl.
Brilliant. I love it. And your website of the same name, Girl Traveler, is brilliant. It's a lovely website. It documents your travels throughout mostly Asia, I think it is, and your time that you spent in Korea for a year. You stayed there. You put down some roots as an expat, and it's a great website because you're really good at making videos. You are actually a video producer by profession, and so it's really refreshing to go to a website and not have to just read all the time and watch the really great videos that you put together. So I encourage everyone to go over to girltravel.com and check out her website. But Christine is back in Hawaii at the moment. Her trip, that trip has definitely finished. She's back in Hawaii. So I just want to know what made you the girl traveler, and what is a girl traveler, and what's the concept behind this?
Well, I think I came up with the idea like in 2008, maybe, when I had just gotten back from my trip in India, which was kind of like a bad crash course in solo travel. Because I had initially gone up with friends, a group of friends. This was my first time to India, and probably my second country that was a little more on the developing end. And we had all gotten onto like a scam tour accidentally.
Right.
And they wanted to stay on it. I wanted to get off of it. And so it was just kind of like, well, okay, Chris, that's your choice. Good luck to you. Bye. You know, and there I was. I was solo.
Wow.
So India is the kind of country that I wouldn't necessarily recommend for your first solo travel date, just because it's like overwhelming, you know, there's so many things going on, you know, it's a beautiful and brilliant country, but it's kind of hectic and crazy. And for me, it was just this crash course of, you know, trying to find my way and navigate through India, but also having a pretty surprisingly nice time. In terms of the GER, it was just trying to gather any kind of resource, like self-resource I had, you know, like I fumbled a lot.
Okay.
You know, I did solo badly, but you just kind of got to use that and go with it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a concept behind GER, is whatever you have, you use like your fear, your stupidity at times, you know, your bluffing, anything that you can bring to the table to get by.
I love it.
Self-survival.
I think that's brilliant, because I think so many women, they do want to travel more, but they think they don't have it all together yet, or they're not ready, or
yeah.
they don't have this, or they're waiting for something. But what you're saying is, look, just go with what you've got, you're going to make it work, you're going to be fine, and that's what a
yeah.
girl traveler is.
Yeah, it's very much about survival. In life, you don't really have a choice. I mean, we all like to plan things out perfectly, but life is not perfect. It's
yeah.
pretty chaotic, and sometimes you just got to make the best out of the worst.
Yeah. Brilliant.
You know, so yeah, like, I'm definitely not a cruel traveler, and I think that intimidated me at first, because I would meet like other solo travelers, and I was like, wow, they've totally got it, you know, and they were like full on cool. Oh yeah, I've traveled this country, that country, it's nothing. And I'd be like, wow, I'm so not ballsy like that.
Oh,
you know?
I love that you say that, because I think so many people think they can't do it, and here you are saying that you weren't the best solo traveler, and I actually don't think I'm the coolest solo traveler either. I mean, I do enjoy it, but it does look like other people have it together better. But you managed
yeah.
to make it work for you, and I love that you did it without even planning. You were suddenly in India on your own, solo, so you made it happen. So what do you think about solo travel that does work so well for you? And how do you feel when you're on the road traveling solo?
What do I think does work for me? You know what? I think my mistakes work for me the best.
Right.
Just because, you know, when I did my first planned solo trip, you know, I had like researched my trip down, the country down, like I had like planned itineraries and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And when I got there, it just kind of all went out the window, you know, and I started to freewheel it a little. You know, the things that turn out to be mistakes turn out to be like the best mistakes, because you discover new things. And so that's why I guess I lean more towards, yeah, you know, go with the goof of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's, if you're too prepared for things, the magic doesn't come in.
Oh, that's lovely. That's so yeah. true, isn't it? I think you do have to just go with the flow a little bit and go with the country that you're in and go with whatever's happening and
yeah.
see where it
I mean,
takes you.
Exactly. I mean, it's good to plan, good to kind of be a little more open to what comes into your itinerary, you know, and things that you don't expect. I think when I traveled, the best times have been, you know, those unplanned moments where I never suspected something and it, you know, turned out to be, I don't know, great.
Definitely. That's always
that
the
came
case.
Out wrong, but
No, I understood it. I completely got it. And yeah, I think that's, you're completely correct. So how do you think you doing your solo travel, even though you say that you think you're not the best solo traveler, how do you think it's made who you are today, or how has it changed you?
You know, like solo travel has been a gradual process for me, you know, going from kind of awkward and gawky to, you know, getting it down a little bit more and understanding it and feeling comfortable in it. Because for a long time, even after like my third solo trip, I wasn't wholly convinced that it was working for me,
okay.
that I liked it. I was still looking for other people to travel with.
But you did it anyway. That's brilliant.
And it's because eventually with time I learned, you know, you get used to certain things. You learn how to trust your instincts more and to spot scams.
Okay.
And then it starts becoming fun, you know.
Being scammed is fun.
Realize that, well, no. But, you know, like I started realizing that being alone or traveling solo didn't mean that I was going to be alone. I actually meet a lot of people on the road. And it's almost become, the idea of being alone is almost by choice at this
okay.
point, just because there's so many people that you meet up with that want to do things and are willing, you know, to have you hitch a ride with them.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people want to save money. So, you know, like I have solo traveler, like first time soloists come up to me, like maybe at a bus station, and they'll be like, hey, where are you going? Are you going to this place? Because if you are, I want to share a ride.
That's
you know,
so
like,
true, isn't it? That does happen.
Yeah.
And it happens more when you travel solo. It actually. Mm-hmm. So you do make more friends when you travel solo if you just open yourself up a little.
Yeah, because I think a lot of soloists look for other soloists too. Yeah. You know, and there are a lot of us out there on the road. And even the people who have like friends, everyone's looking to, you know, get by kind of like on the budget end. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's open to meeting new people. And yeah, I haven't had a problem in terms of loneliness in that sense.
Excellent. And if anyone goes to your website, go over to thegirltraveler.com, I think they'll be very shocked to hear you say that you started out not feeling as confident solo traveling, because you look so confident on your pictures. You just, your videos, you ooze confidence. You look like you have it all together. So I love that you've been honest enough to say, sometimes I didn't feel like I had it all together. So I think that a lot of our worldlets could use that as inspiration, that they don't have to feel they've got it all together.
No, you work with it. And like for me, like I said, it was a gradual progression. The confidence started to build.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you start getting that way, then it becomes like, okay, you know, now I think I'm getting it. I think I'm good with it. And like even when it wasn't building, when I was still awkward, I would have those moments where I thought to myself, wow, you know, here I am. I'm in India by myself. Like, how mind-blowing is that?
That
you
is.
Know, I'm getting through it. That's incredible. I never suspected. And it's like we never expect ourselves to be that stupendous or that like marvelous in terms of being on our own. But the more we do it, the more we find it's doable. And oh my God, I rock, you know? So I think, I mean, that's kind of how I eventually grew, is like a lot more of those situations of like, wow, I really rock. I can do this.
That's brilliant to come to those moments when you have those positive thoughts in your head. I mean, we beat ourselves up so much. So how amazing to get to a point that you're actually saying to yourself, I rock. I think that's brilliant. Can we talk about your career? You then stayed put in Korea for a year. You became an expat and you were teaching English. Why did you choose Korea?
The logistics, well, I guess, you know, I'd looked around at different countries and what they were offering, first of all. So in a way, it was very kind of like a pragmatic, conscious decision of Korea offers the most in terms of free accommodations and they fly you out and stuff like that. But when I looked at the culture as well, they were just kind of like so progressive, or like they were moving forward in a really rapid way.
Yeah.
And, you know, with technology, with like K-pop, with all these things. And I just thought to myself, well, I kind of would love to experience that. You know, not only that, it's the fact that because they're moving forward, maybe, you know, my life injected in there will move forward as well. Like I'll learn things that will help develop me in the future. So I guess that's why I chose
Korea. Korea's a great place,
actually. Good food.
The good food, I mean, the food's brilliant in Korea. It's spicy, isn't it? It's very different.
Oh my gosh,
it's so spicy. Like, I thought I could handle spicy Indian food or spicy Thai food, but if you have proper spicy Korean food, it will blow your face off. But Korea's a great country. I was in Japan for a long time, and I used to pop over to Korea, and I had friends there, and definitely a brilliant country. If anyone is thinking of English teaching, I would think Korea's a great place to do it too. So,
well, Japan's an awesome place too, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
brilliant.
The food is amazing. The quality of life,
yeah, love it. I've got huge, still sort of a romance with Japan and that part of Asia, to be honest. So, which works best for you, being on the road or staying put in one place as an expat? What do you prefer?
You know, like having experienced both sides of like just traveling nonstop and being an expat, I feel like somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want the freedom, but at the same time, you want the home base.
Right.
So if I had to choose, I would say the home base. Mm-hmm. Because Korea, having a home base in Korea did allow me to jump out to neighboring countries and travel without feeling like I was displaced too much or like I needed, you know, because money becomes an issue too. Like, how do you afford travel? Mm-hmm. You know, here I'm living in an exotic country already. I'm experiencing travel on a daily basis. You know, I'm making money so that I can afford more travels.
Yeah.
And I'm in a neighbor, you know, like my neighbors are all, you know, other Asian countries that I've never been to.
It's a great setup actually being an expat. I mean, even now, we're traveling on holiday a lot, just so much more than we ever could when we went back to London, and so much more. Like, yeah, and it's the expat community naturally travels a lot, and it's yeah, which is great. It just becomes a part of being an expat.
It
So
is really surprising. Like a lot of expats really do travel.
yeah. And it's funny actually because I have a son now. He's just 7 months. But the main conversation between all the expat mums within the first month was, "When are you getting the visa? When are you getting the baby visa? Because we've got to go." And I thought, "Gosh, what a funny life we live." When the biggest concern was, "We've got to go on holiday." But yeah. Okay, so you're back in Hawaii, and we've been chatting on email about this before this interview. So, I think you have, well, I've decided you have an advanced world debt problem. You are advanced. And the reason I say
What
advanced
is
is
that?
because a lot of my world debts, they haven't quite travelled yet, or they want to travel again after a long period, and they just can't get over that hurdle to get out in the world. You, on the other hand, you've been out in the world, you have done expat life, you've done solo travel life, and you're now back home. And that brings with it a whole new set of problems, which the advents that haven't quite got out there yet, they're not quite there. So, hey, congratulations, you've graduated. You have advanced world debt problems. And we've already talked about this on our emails, but I completely get this because my period back home, I'm not even from London, but back in the UK was tough. Like, I'd heard about reverse culture shock. I thought it might be a bit tough, but it was really, really hard. And so I'd like to hear, really, let's talk about home first. What does the concept of home bring up for you now you are back in Hawaii?
Well, there's the concept versus the reality of home, I guess, or the physical place. Because conceptually, home is just wherever my family is, and that's in my heart, right? So as long as I have my family, wherever they are on the globe, I can live, but the idea of home being Hawaii, like where I'm from and where my family is currently living, it brings up a whole different set of game rules, I guess. I think I definitely struggle being back home. The reverse culture shock does enter, and it's really funny because when I went away to Korea, I had done all my research and I had read about, how people being reinjected back into their old culture, would hit depression and stuff like that, of feeling displaced. And I think that's how I kind of feel at the moment, is very displaced. Like, where do I fit in? I've had these amazing experiences, and I don't want them to end. But like bringing them back into Western society, like where do they fit in? And at the same time, my career that I once had here in video production hasn't grown while I've been away, so now trying to get back that career, make a new life for myself, it introduces problems of, well, yeah, who am I? Identity issues,
Absolutely.
I mean,
Go ahead, please.
I thought like I was gonna be smart about it, and that's why I chose Korea, because it's like technology wise, it's advanced and moving forward, and I thought I was gonna learn a language, but when I got there, you kind of slide on some of those things. You
That's
just have
okay.
fun and enjoy, and trying to adapt to a different foreign culture is a world in itself, but yeah, coming back, I didn't think it would be as hard as it has been.
Yeah,
I
I
mean, for
completely
other people,
understand.
for some people, it's not that hard. Some people other
True.
expats I've met, came back, they got a job initially, like
And they love it.
immediately. Yeah,
Yeah,
but for me,
you're
restarting.
right. Not everybody struggles when you get back. Some people are really happy to be back home. For me, I found that it felt like my whole experience in Japan, people didn't understand it. And with time, I came to understand that's okay. Of course, they don't understand it. They've not been in Japan with me. But it felt like my whole personality that I'd become while I was in Japan, and my career in Japan, I became an editor, and all my experiences, it just felt like they didn't matter back home in London. It was like, what have you done in London? where are you from in England? I'm like, well, I'm from the north of England. And they were putting me in these boxes, and my whole experience in Japan didn't fit in their boxes. So it just
Exactly.
felt like what I thought my personality, my interesting parts, were of no relevance to anybody else. So they just sort
Yes.
of shutting out a whole part of my life. And it was tough. It was very, very tough. So
And that's how it feels, I think,
yeah.
for me too.
So it's you're right. It's sort of
You know,
trying. It's.
the idea of being. I'm
Think
sorry, one more time.
it's okay. We have a bit of time delay there. Yeah, it's just trying to find where we fit back in again when we are back home. How do we bring these experiences that we've had overseas, and how do we make them fit in our life back home, I suppose?
Exactly. And, you know, what if they don't fit? You know, that's for me another issue that I'm considering is like maybe I am meant to go back overseas, you know, because there are certain issues or values that I have a hard time coming back home to. You know, having seen other parts of the world, I realize that I don't believe in certain things that I, you know, had been raised to believe. So.
Interesting. And I think also it's that keeping that sense of adventure alive. It's hard to switch it off
Exactly.
once it's been turned on. It's very hard to switch it off and just go. I mean, I don't want to say like just go back into an ordinary life, like those kind of ordinary lives are not relevant or not important, but it's. Yeah, once you've got that little spark of adventure inside you.
Exactly, you know, and it's like what you're asking me before is how did I feel like I changed? I felt like I grew beyond myself, and now that I'm coming back to my old life, I have to, yeah, fit myself in a box again, like become small again,
Yeah, I can
you
understand
know?
that.
So.
So I don't want to end this on a negative, and anyone thinking of leaving and going traveling now thinks, oh my gosh, I can't go and leave because if I come back, I've got all this waiting for me. I'd like everybody to go over to Christine's site and check out her website, hook up with her on Facebook, and I think we should all support her in getting her through this adjustment to life back home or helping her figure out what's going to happen because this is an exciting time. You know, it's when we have
This
these
is.
moments that. You know, a lot of people, they have these moments and then they say, right, I'm going traveling. You're sort of on the verge of that too, I think. You're right, something's going to fall into place for you. So let's all help Christine. It's like an appeal. Let's get
Yeah,
Chris.
well, also, you know, like I think during these times, it really makes me question, do I regret anything I did? And the answer is really no. I don't have any regrets about having to t like having went off to Korea, having traveled, having, you know, used my time in that sense. I mean, I feel like I've become so much of a stronger person. I know myself so much more. You know, it's just a matter of now, what do I do? What can I make work here? Or, you know, like where my life has changed, my sensibilities have changed, I've changed. What do I do with that change? And what avenue do I need to take?
You'll figure it out, and you will. And because actually, for myself, my outlet was to create World Et. I needed to connect with other women. I was just in London. I didn't know anybody international, and I thought I need a website. I need to connect with other women, and that's how World Et happened. And
That's so
it's just
cool.
working. So something brilliant will come from this, and I'm really excited to see where it takes you. So let's all see where she ends up. It's going to be good. I know
Should
it.
be interesting.
Well, thank you so much for telling us all about your trips to India and Korea and traveling, and I hope that everyone goes over to your website, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Mary.
Excellent. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Marie. Bye-bye.
Hi, it's Marie. What a brilliant chat I had with Christine. I think what I loved the best was chatting with her about how it is to be at home again and how home is a part of our travel life. And sometimes we do have to be home and it doesn't always feel good, but that's okay. But I want to know about you. What really hit home for you the most? Did you have any aha moments and how you're now going to use the advice from Christine to take action? Head over to the Facebook page right now. Share your thoughts with me and the rest of the World Et Party members. It's a party after all. Let's mingle!